Proposed state budget cuts put public libraries' internet at risk. And in a StoryCorps interview, a Haines resident talks about finding pride in being Tlingit. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories up next. These days, the libraries in Haines, Klukwan, and Skagway mean much more to residents and visitors than checking out a book or two. The facilities are hubs for educational functions and information gathering via the internet. But proposed cuts from both the House and Senate Finance Committees call for a 100% reduction to the program that funds library internet connections. KHNS's Jillian Rogers reports.
Miles Curtis goes online every day at the public library in Haines, but it's not to scope out the latest deals on Amazon or update his Twitter account. Curtis says he's in the throes of a legal battle.
The legal situation we're in has caused a lot of financial hardships, which makes it difficult to maintain internet and the related equipment and printers and stuff at home. So we've relied on the library almost exclusively in the last year or so.
Maintaining a home connection in Haines, Klukwan, or Skagway isn't easy on the wallet, especially a connection that runs faster than a snail's pace and offers a reasonable amount of data. For example, in Haines, Skagway, or Klukwan, a mid-range plan from Alaska Power and Telephone will run about $80 a month, plus a setup fee.
It became so costly, and we weren't able to keep up with the bills, so we had to go ahead and shut it down.
So if the money that funds wireless internet and video conferencing at the library goes away, Curtis says he's not sure what he and his wife would do. Last year, the Online with Libraries, or OWL, funding was threatened, too. And like this year's campaign to reduce the deficit, the program was originally slated to be axed in its entirety. But it survived completely intact. Patty Brown is the director of the Haines Library. She says this year is a little different.
I think this year it's more just trying to look at covering what's looking like great losses to the state. You know, so they are cutting in a lot of areas. For the rural and remote communities, it's very much a critical service.
If the cuts go through, Brown says the library in Haines would lose its federal match dollars also. That means the library would no longer be able to offer wireless internet service or video conferencing, two services the public has come to rely on. In total, OWL costs a little over $760,000 each year to serve 45 libraries across the state. Brown says that's a small price to pay for a lifeline.
Many of the libraries are paying about a 2% of their internet cost. They would be having to take on the OWL funds, so it would mean you'd be paying 22% of the cost and hoping your federal aid rate dollars wouldn't be affected.
In February, typically the library's slowest month, according to Brown, the wired desktop computers were used 1,900 times, while wireless uses topped 1,200. Aside from the day-to-day financials, job searches, or yearly PFD applications, Brown says the internet access and video conferencing offers opportunities for higher learning, professional advancement, and cultural exchanges. Also, many people rely on the library access to correspond with family and loved ones around the world. If OWL gets disconnected and they lose federal dollars as a result, the Haines Library could be on the hook for upwards of $40,000. Brown says, at the very least, they would go from paying $1,900 annually to almost $13,000. It's a huge jump, Brown says. Jesse Morgan is the cultural coordinator at the library in Haines. She says cultural exchanges occur often via video conferencing, saving residents the hefty cost of flying to events across the state. She adds that the library in Klukwan uses online video sessions for language programs. In Skagway, the library is also vulnerable to the loss of video conferencing, but not wireless because of municipality funding. Director Julene Brown, no relation to the Haines Library director, says video conferencing is often used for job trainings and online classes.
It's taken off and people are just starting to see the many opportunities that it brings us. And it's just kind of ironic to me to have the state agencies that are trying to figure out how to deliver services with the budget cuts that they're facing. And this video conferencing is one way for them to do that.
Back in Haines, Miles Curtis says, with the world becoming increasingly paperless, access to the web is no longer just a privilege.
It's gotten to a point where I would consider it a right, because everything's kind of gone in that direction over the last few years, where it would just be difficult to function and have access to the information that everyone should be entitled to.
Both library directors urge those who want to help to go online and sign a petition opposing the cuts. You can log on for free at the library. Find a link to the petition at khns.org. Reporting in Haines, I'm Jillian Rogers.
Harriet Brulette's family history is wrought with identity struggles. In a StoryCorps interview from the Haines and Juneau Public Libraries, Brulette told her son, Ted Hart, about her and her family's experiences growing up Tlingit. Brulette began by talking about her mother, who attended the boarding school, the Wrangell Institute.
She had experiences like being locked in a closet for speaking her language. She was hit with a ruler and had her mouth washed out. But she was pretty stubborn and she was determined to learn and to hold on to Tlingit, which is the language that was spoken by her parents in their home. Not all of her siblings learned to speak Tlingit. It wasn't as easy for them because they were in school, and you had to be pretty determined to hold on to your language because the educational system was pretty determined to scrub it out of you. As I was growing up, I heard Mom and Dad speaking to each other in Tlingit, and I could understand some of the things that they said. But Mom didn't want us to learn, and I'm to this day, I'm not sure why. I know that there was a lot of shame. She learned a lot of shame in her language and in her culture. And she told me at one time that when we were born, she really hoped that we didn't look native. And I didn't understand what she was talking about. Like, why would you not want us to look native? That's what we are. But she wanted us to look like her, like Grandpa, because he looked non-native. And what that caused me to want is for my kids to look native. So when you were born, I was very happy you were brown and you had dark hair. And I made a point of telling her, you know, look at my child. I want him to look like this. I want him to be brown. I want him to have dark hair. I want him to know who he is. I want him to know he's a raven frog. If that's the only thing I taught you, it was going to be proud of who you were. The only time that I've ever really felt ashamed of who I was when we were in Bellingham. There was, we were young teenage girls, and running down the hall giggling with our friends, my sister Mary and I, and a couple of boys stopped at the lockers next to us, and I overheard one say, "What are you doing looking at her for? She's an Indian." And that's the only time that I really, really felt the hostility. That, other than that, it was, as long as I pretended everything was fine, then it was fine.
What are your hopes for what the future holds for me?
I have large aspirations for you and your brother. To me, when I you're kind and you're gentle and you're honest, and in my mind, no matter what your academic success may or may not be, that's who I want you to be. I want you to continue to be that person. So when I look at you, I think that's a success. You're proud of who you are. You're proud of the color of your skin. You're proud of your history and your ancestry. What more could I ask for? So my aspiration for you is that as you grow older, you continue to share the love of your culture with not only your children, but everyone else's children. Yeah, everyone else who doesn't have that same depth of understanding and love of their culture. But culture bearer is what I hope for your future. Would you like to add anything?
I'd just like to encourage people to, maybe do their own research in the Tlingit culture. Because I think no matter who you are, it has a lot to offer about being human and the environment. And there's just ancient knowledge in there about nature and the way things work. And I think that's really important this day and age with the way that things are going with the climate and things of that nature.
Gunashtish.
Haines resident Harriet Brulette talking with her son, Ted Hart. That StoryCorps interview was recorded by the Haines and Juneau Public Libraries and produced by KHNS. StoryCorps is a national nonprofit whose mission is to provide Americans of all backgrounds and beliefs with the opportunity to record, share, and preserve the stories of our lives. More information at StoryCorps.org. For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at KHNS.org.